Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, Paul and Jordana. Thank you for joining us. Tons of breaking news today. Not only is the situation in Ukraine a disaster, we have been following that. We are going to speak with Pamela Falk from CBS News in just a few minutes. But of course, we now know that a jury has found former Minneapolis police officers To Tao, J. Alexander King, and Thomas Lane guilty of depriving George Floyd of his rights while acting under government authority. We did a great interview with Rachel Paulos. She spoke very eloquently about their repercussions, what happens next. Please use the Odyssey app and the Rewind feature to check that out. I'm now looking at a statement from the Minnesota ACLU. This statement can be attributed to Ben Feist, who's the interim director for the Minnesota ACLU. And they say this, quote, "This verdict shows that every police officer involved in police violence is responsible for its outcome. It was clear Mr. Floyd had stopped breathing or moving, or he had no pulse. Any of these officers could have saved George Floyd's life. They had a duty to intervene, and they failed. They are all accountable for his death. George Floyd should still be alive today." The ACLU statement goes on. "This case highlights so many of the failures in our policing system. Officers targeted a black man for disparate treatment and then used the debunked theory of excited delirium to attempt to justify their horrifying act of violence. They used overwhelming and unnecessary force over a minor offense. MPD leaders appointed a training officer with a record of violence." It continues. "Our law enforcement system is built upon racism, and we know reforms alone have never been enough to solve the problem. We must continue pushing to shift resources from traditional policing to community-based solutions like crisis response teams to keep everyone safe." That is a statement from the Minnesota ACLU, from Ben Feist, who is the interim executive director, on the response of the guilty verdict for the three former officers for depriving George Floyd of his rights.
And of course, the other story, the big story we're tackling right now and trying to keep up to date with, is what's happening in Ukraine. It is the biggest skirmish, biggest war, state-on-state war since World War II. And keep in mind, Ukraine, in terms of geography, the second largest country in Europe and Asia. I mean, it's second only to Russia, from what I understand. And the Russian invasion has already killed at least 57 people. 169 people have been injured, combat and non-combat related injuries. They're calling it a Russian blitzkrieg. Again, cruise missiles have been fired, jet aircraft, precision bombing. First time, again, there's been a major war since World War II. You have to go back to Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany invading Poland in 1939, which really started World War II. After that happened, then the Allies came in and began to fight. Ukraine, not a member of NATO. No talk at all about having boots on the ground, American boots on the ground in the Ukraine. But certainly a lot of sanctions were announced today. Trillions of dollars in Russian assets being frozen. It's affecting Russia's largest banks. And we'll see if they actually seize property from some of these Russian elites, the oligarchs and their families. and sending more troops into Eastern European countries in the NATO alliance. President Biden went on to say the U.S. will defend every inch of NATO territory with the full force of American power. And George, before the invasion began, Putin said something really interesting. He said this is a defensive maneuver meant to demilitarize and denazify. I didn't even know that was a word. Denazify Ukraine.
Probably isn't.
Which is especially unbelievable, considering that Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky, is Jewish. And he asked Putin, he said, how can I be a Nazi? So, I mean, so really.
It just leads us to believe more what our guest said earlier today, that that President Putin is unhinged, that he is not thinking or acting rationally.
Not acting rationally.
Right. He's not acting rationally. And that is even more dangerous when you have a dictator with all this power and 190,000 troops and nothing to lose. $200 billion in the bank, nothing to lose.
Yeah.
That's what makes this situation over the top frightening, because sanctions or cutting off his money, he's got $200 billion in the bank. He doesn't care. So we will speak with Pamela Falk on this. She is up next. She is our foreign affairs officer. So we'll talk a lot more about Ukraine in just a moment. But again, the other breaking news story is that the three officers in the George Floyd murder case have been found guilty of violating George Floyd's civil rights. And as reaction comes in and response comes in, I have a statement from the Trone Center for Justice and Equality. They are under the also the Minnesota ACLU. I just wanted to share this statement in reaction to the three officers being found guilty. They say this: in order to honor Mr. Floyd's life, we will continue actively working to dismantle those systems that led to this killing. Police officers still kill approximately three people a day, and communities of color continue to be patrolled by massively funded $115 billion a year armed police officers or police forces that disproportionately stop, arrest, jail, abuse, traumatize, and kill people of color. They continue in the statement saying this: honoring George Floyd's life means continuing to fight for alternatives that reduce harm and violence, including medical and mental health care, schools, housing, employment, and social services. It means continuing to fight for changes like those made not far from Minneapolis in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, where the ACLU and local allies worked closely with the mayor and city council to pass a sweeping law that will create a department and send mental health workers instead of police in many situations. And again, that statement was from Yasmeen Kader, the director of the ACL's Trone Center for Justice and Equality, in response to the three former Minneapolis police officers now found guilty of depriving George Floyd of his civil rights.
Thank you, Jordana, and thanks for sticking with us. We'll keep you posted as reaction comes in to that guilty verdict for all three former MPD officers. In the meantime, there's a full-blown invasion of Ukraine taking place right now by the Russian Federation. CBS correspondent Pamela Falk will have the very latest coming up next. Just a fire hose of news today. Thank you for sticking with us. Paul and Jordana and DJ, and what's happening in Ukraine. Last night, while many of us were sleeping, Russia invaded Ukraine. And it's complicated. Ukraine was a part of the old Soviet Union when the old Soviet Union fell apart back in 91. Ukraine went its own way, and they had democracy in mind. They've elected five presidents democratically, representative government, all those things that Russia is not. Ukraine may be drifting into NATO's orbit, and perhaps Vladimir Putin had enough and decided this was the time to go, sensing that maybe NATO and the United States would not become directly involved in combat. With us is Pamela Falk, and she is the foreign affairs analyst for CBS. She was up till 2 a.m. covering the United Nations and that otherworldly exchange between Ukraine and the Russian ambassador. It was amazing to see. Pamela, thank you for making time for us today.
Absolutely, Paul and Jordana. It was totally amazing because we went in and it was a 9:30 called meeting, and there was a sense of having the meeting for it's so late because something was going to happen, mm-hmm. or maybe happen. But there still was this hope. It's the UN. It's diplomats. And so U.S. and U.K. were all saying, Putin, you know, go back. Don't do anything more. Let's because he had recognized two provinces as independent, as which are part of Ukraine. And in the middle of the meeting, everybody's phone started exploding. That's how we all get news these days. And
right,
so,
right.
And you could just see it on their faces. I mean, just somber. And I think from my listening, because I interviewed him 2 weeks ago, the Ukraine ambassador looked, his voice was cracking. I mean, and he immediately held up his phone and said to the Russian, "You're doing this. Why? How can you keep saying you're not going to do this?" And it really was pretty dramatic. And then now the Security Council has just 10 minutes ago formulated a resolution that they'll vote on tomorrow that says Russia has to get out. Now, it can't pass because Russia has a veto, but it does carry the weight of the world with it, so it makes some kind of a point. But look, no one's been able to stop them. That's the bottom line.
And the sanctions that were announced today, that's not going to stop them either. I mean, nothing is going to stop Putin and the Russian Federation from accomplishing their goal. But again,
right. I mean, you know what was interesting? President Biden himself said that. He said no one expected sanctions to prevent anything. In other words,
Pam, just go back for a minute because you were in the room as the bombs start falling, as the invasion happens, and the Ukrainian ambassador holds his phone and says to the Russian ambassador, "You're doing this. You're lying to our face." What was the response of the Russian ambassador?
He said, "I can't see your phone. What are you talking about?" And then he said, "Please don't interrupt me." And it was just back and forth. They didn't know what to do. And then, of course, the U.S. ambassador spoke again because she had spoken already. But Linda Thomas Greenfield said, I have to say more. Russia, history will judge you, you know. And then the secretary general came out and said more. And he came out today again and said, Putin, you know, go back. Stop it. It's bad. It's really bad, but it's not irreversible. And people were just shocked because also no one had yet seen the casualties. I mean, since then, between the wee hours of the morning last night and right now, you see people, civilians dying, people in fallout shelters in the subway, the mass exodus from Ukraine. I mean, it's just amazing. And the UN agencies like the World Food Program are really concerned not just about Ukraine but about all of Africa because Ukraine supplies all the wheat. And so they said, look, they're going to stay there. The UN is staying in Ukraine. But it's a very bad situation. I mean, the first targets were military bases, and then they started hitting a lot of civilians. And the fear right now is that they're heading for Kyiv, the capital. And what happens to Zelensky? I mean, are they going to take him out and put their puppet in? I mean, that's the real question.
Yeah, they're talking about decapitating the leadership in Ukraine. Ooh. And some, Pamela, some have said this is a battle between authoritarianism and democracy. And it's interesting to me, Putin and Xi Jinping met during the Olympics. We saw them together.
Right.
And it's interesting to me, the day after the Olympics, the Winter Olympics ended, that's when things began to unravel. And my question for you, the Chinese maybe also sensing weakness, perhaps weakness on our part, watching this showdown between Russia and Ukraine, and they may be wondering, hey, if the Americans won't defend Kyiv, will they defend Taiwan? Is there concern that there will be ripple effects from this and that this could grow? Or do you think this is a one-off? Once they install their puppet regime in Kyiv, they will retreat back into Russia?
No, the former. I mean, everyone can imagine the bubble over Xi Jinping's head, which is, oh, Can we do this? I mean, there's no question. And there's today there was a little bit of nervousness because there was strafing by China over Taiwan. So everybody's watching this. That said, there's no question that Russia is sort of touting China as its new BFF, its best friend. And China will certainly help to bail it out of some of these sanctions. In other words, sort of cushion the blow. But on the other hand, at the UN Security Council, Xi Jinping himself, the ambassador where we were, all said, look, we understand what Russia's doing. We see the complications of Ukraine, but the negotiations are the better way. Because they really don't. I mean, what happens when the U.S. decides sanctions against Russia aren't working and China's bailing it out? Then the sanctions go against China. And then, by the way, we bite our nose to spite our face because we do so much production in China.
Right.
So, I mean, the whole thing is just a mess. And what was interesting today at the White House was what President Biden didn't put in. In other words, he didn't sanction Putin. That's, they call it the nuclear bomb of sanctions, you know, the nuclear weapon. And
why not?
Yeah, I mean, if not now, when? I mean, you invade a country and you're taking it over in 2022. I mean, this isn't even, you know, in 2014, the listeners have to understand this happened before. I mean, the Russians rolled tanks in and took Crimea back, but they got out and nobody expected it, and it wasn't, it was sort of mixed views in Ukraine. Now, because they did that, it's like 90%, because it is a democracy and there is polling, that support for going to the West and staying away from Russia. So the Ukrainians have armed themselves, and also it's going to be sort of similar to a civil war. I mean, you're going to have Ukrainians fighting Ukrainians because the Ukrainians have been armed, and two of the provinces that he now has declared in the Donbass independent states, Donetsk and Luhansk, were given citizenship of Russia and Russian army membership potential. So you got Russian military in Ukraine. You got within the borders of Ukraine, you have Ukrainian civilians. You know, a doctor. I mean, someone went and interviewed all these people. One of the correspondents, and I mean, a doctor, a dentist assistant, a priest. I mean, they all took their lessons in automatic weapons so that they could defend themselves. I mean, what is that going to look like?
So sad. Pam, I know we're almost out of time, but I just want to address what you said before, that our president did not sanction Putin. They claim they're sanctioning the Kremlin, and they will stop their ability to finance the war. But what is the difference between sanctioning Putin and sanctioning the Kremlin? And what would that look like if we did, quote, do the nuclear bomb of sanctions against Putin?
Well, you know, everyone assumes, since Putin's been around for so long, that he's put his money, you know, under the mattress or somewhere that no one can get it. But he would have a very hard time being able to travel, being able to move, being able to access his money. And the other thing they didn't put on the list was this thing called SWIFT, which is a banking cooperative founded in the 1970s. And it's headquartered in Belgium and would really put a dent. So they're holding back on some of them. And I think part of it is a wait and see. So there's something to put in at the very end. But Ukraine said, why are you waiting? I mean, yesterday at the UN and Zelensky himself said it. Why are you waiting? I mean, put it in now. If you're not going to help us and you're not going to put boots on the ground and no one and we're sort of hanging out there, do something. So we'll see. Tomorrow's the vote at the UN, and the Human Rights Council is having a meeting tomorrow morning in Geneva, the UN. Everyone's trying to say at least Putin would be sort of Russia would be a pariah state. The other thing he did sanction, one little footnote, is the Russian oligarchs. There's a whole list of banks and oligarchs. So, I mean, whatever it is, it's our billionaires in the United States. is his oligarch money class in communism, and they're very powerful, and so and they got a lot of money, and so if you squeeze them, they may put pressure on him.
Yeah, but not Putin. It's just bizarre. CBS Foreign Affairs Analyst Pamela Falk. Pamela, thank you for joining us and breaking this down. Be safe out there.
We'll see.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with the head of the Minnesota ACLU in reaction to the guilty verdict for the three former police officers in the death of George Floyd.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tons of breaking news today. Tons of breaking news. Three officers found guilty in the federal charges in George Floyd's killing. In fact, just a moment ago, before that unbelievable Pamela Falk interview on Ukraine, I shared with you a statement from the ACLU. Ben Feist is the executive director, of the Minnesota ACLU, and he's here to share a reaction to the guilty verdict for the officers. Ben, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks very much for having me.
Great. I shared the statement on the air, so no need necessarily to read it. People can use the rewind feature and hear that. But if you could just share with us in your own words the Minnesota ACLU reaction to this guilty verdict.
Yeah, absolutely. So today's verdict is a step towards police accountability. And we really hope that it helps our grieving community. Now, it's been a long time that folks have been dealing with the trauma of the murder of George Floyd. We've endured the Chauvin trial and the result there, and now we see that there's accountability for all of the officers who were at the scene and failed to intervene. They had a duty to take action, and this verdict shows that they didn't and that they will be held accountable for that.
Hey, Ben, this is Paul. Thanks for joining us on short notice today. Minnesota AG Keith Ellison sent out a message this afternoon via social media. He said, "My thoughts today are with the family of George Floyd. This verdict honors Floyd's memory. This is not a celebratory moment, but it is an important one. Once again, the principle that no one is above the law and no one is beneath it has been upheld." Do you agree with that? And is this another step towards healing here in the Twin Cities and nationwide, for that matter?
I do very much agree with that sentiment from Attorney General Ellison. You know, George Floyd should still be alive today. And there really is no way to get true justice when someone has been murdered in this way. And so the closest we can get in our system is to make sure that we are going through the process and that there is some form of accountability. So in that respect, I do think that today is important. It's important for the community for honoring the legacy of George Floyd and everything that's happened since.
Ben, moving forward, do you think this will not only change the way we police, but also change the way we treat what happens when people do die in custody of the police? Will it change things like qualified immunity? Will it change things like excited delirium? Is this a game changer now?
Well, definitely from the ACLU perspective, these are issues that we have been working on for years. And now we're finally seeing real outcry in the community for change. And I think as we start to have more of these conversations, there's a greater chance that we will see the systems of policing really start to change and move forward. So, you know, we're working at the state and local levels to change this broken policing system in a lot of different ways. As you'd mentioned, this idea of ending qualified immunity for officers, pushing for bans on no-knock warrants, and otherwise trying to really get armed police out of a lot of these interactions where we could have folks who are there as a crisis response team, for example. So that's just a handful of the ways that we're hoping to move this conversation forward.
Ben, have you been in touch with any members of George Floyd's family? Do you know how they're feeling today after this verdict?
Now, I have not directly. We do have some folks on our staff who worked really closely in community. And with the breaking news here, I'm not sure if we have been able to make contact. But, you know, our hearts really go out to the family and to everything that they've had to endure.
Well, we sure appreciate you joining us. Ben Feist, Interim Executive Director of Minnesota ACLU. We appreciate your thoughts today. Thanks for coming on CCO.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You got it. I do believe, I mean, the murder of George Floyd changed everything. It changed how we look at racism. It changed how we look at policing. It changed how we... It not only changed Minneapolis, Minnesota, it changed the world. You know, this was a global effort. There were protests in cities across the world. And we're still feeling the repercussions of that today. And it continues to change. If this will affect change in how we prosecute or how we look at deaths, if this will reopen cases of people in the past who have died while in police custody, maybe that will extract a measure of justice for those that haven't had it before. So this is we are in a new era and a good one. People that have not seen justice in the past may see it now. And it's always a good thing when people are safer, when we, like he said, police within community, when we understand those that are being underserved or those that have not received justice. And I hope our eyes will continue to be opened. Yeah. I hope we will continue to awaken to this new era.
And it still makes me wonder, I mean, things that would have happened in the shadows 10, 20, 30 years ago are now apparent. If Darnella Frazier had not been there taking that cell phone video.
Yep.
Where would we be? Would there
be where the police report said that he was, you know, had a heart attack or he had a medical emergency?
Exactly.
That lie would have held.
So is our new technology, whether it's cell phone videos, whether it's webcams, whether it's security cameras, it's harder to get away with stuff. You could, you know, it's harder. It just is.
And that's good.
Is that furthering liberty and justice for all and accountability for all? And that nobody is above the law. Everybody is beholden to the law. And by the way, technology, which often gets a bad rap, we now have safeguards and guardrails and ways to prove, yes, this really did happen. God help us when people start manipulating video. I guess that's already happening. The deep
fakes. Well, no, same thing with Ahmaud Arbery. If that video never came out, those three racists down there who murdered Ahmaud Arbery would be free walking around. No charges would have been filed ever. And those awful, horrible people are going to spend the rest of their life in jail, thank God, because of the video that those idiots took, that they took their own video. And thank God it was available because justice can be served.
So it's been a wild show. Thank you for hanging in there with us. One show highlight that really made Jor and me do a triple take, something Pamela Falk, CBS reporter Pamela Falk said, if you missed that, we're going to replay that next.
Welcome back. Gosh, we had a crazy, crazy day today. Lots going on today. Mask mandates lifted, which would normally be a huge story for us. We did touch on. People are relieved about that. Of course, this disaster in Ukraine, and then not the least of which is this guilty verdict by the three officers in the murder of George Floyd. We were just on with Pam Falk. Pamela Falk is our CBS News correspondent. She does foreign affairs. She told an incredible story of being in the room when the Ukrainian ambassador confronted the Russian ambassador as the bomb started to fall, as the attack was happening during their meeting. Hear what she had to say.
In the middle of the meeting, everybody's phone started exploding. That's how we all get news these days. And
right,
you could just see it on their faces. I mean, just somber. And I think from my listening, because I interviewed him 2 weeks ago, the Ukraine ambassador, his voice was cracking. I mean, and he immediately held up his phone and said to the Russian, "You're doing this. Why? How can you keep saying you're not going to do this?" And it really was pretty dramatic. And
what was the response of the Russian ambassador?
He said, "I can't see your phone. What are you talking about?" And then he said, "Please don't interrupt me." And it was just back and forth. They didn't know what to do.
And the Russian was in charge, the Russian ambassador in charge of the Security Council. I mean, it was this otherworldly scene. Everybody's checking their phones and, you know, tracking this invasion in real time.
But the gaslighting and the, "Oh, I can't see your phone. I don't know what's going on," to not even have the balls to say, "We're doing this. It's happening. And this is why." I mean, how cowardly and non-productive that was. I just feel, I feel horrible for the people of Ukraine and even the people that are trying to reason and be diplomatic with these Russian officials, because clearly they are not having it, which leads us to believe that we are in greater, that Ukraine and the rest of the world is in greater danger from people that are unwilling to even acknowledge reality, truth, and try to find a way around mass casualties.
Well, this is why democracy matters, right? I mean, there is no democracy in Russia. All the media outlets controlled now. There used to be private, independent outlets telling the truth. Those have gone away. There is no democracy. There is only the state and authoritarianism. So, yeah, this is a battle for democracy. And our hearts and prayers are with the Ukrainian people tonight. We'll keep you posted right here on your news and information station, WCCO. Catch you tomorrow.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.